I hold in my right hand The Children Are Reading, a new collection of poetry by Gabriel Fried that takes readers into the magically dark and twisted worlds of children's literature and children's imaginations, as well as the fearful fantasies of the adults who care for them. Gabriel Fried is the author of Making the New Lamb Take, winner of the Catherine Morton Prize, which was named a top poetry collection of 2007. He's also the editor of an anthology, Heart of the Order, Baseball Poems, and longtime poetry editor of, is it Percy?
Persia,
yes. Persia Books. He teaches in the creative writing program at the University of Missouri. He was at Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck last night. He has ties to this region. We are thrilled that we could be part of his tour. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Again, the name of the collection is The Children Are Reading. How did this particular collection come about?
Well, having children had something to do with it.
Okay.
But I've always been a lover of children's literature, and the things that I read as a child have always stayed with me. So I think that informed a lot of the poems, too.
This idea of, so do you consciously say, I'm going to examine through the work I do as a poet of children's literature, or is it more organic than that?
It is more organic. I think when I go into writing a poem with an idea of what I'm going to write about, it doesn't tend to turn out that well. For whatever reason. Some people might be idea-driven. For me, it's about climate. It's about atmosphere. It's about trying to give words to certain moments more than ideas.
How do you mean climate?
Well, climate in the sense of almost the barometric psychological experience of being a child and imagining as a child in the case of these poems.
Does it have to do with the climate that you are in at the moment?
Probably, and it probably has something to do with the climate that my children are in as I come across them.
And are you looking for, and again, probably not consciously, but are you looking for parallels between what they're experiencing and what you have experienced?
I think inevitably, although probably I also impose on them my own experience to a certain extent. They're both very different than I was and I am, and they're growing up in a very different environment than I did.
As I mentioned, the name of the collection is The Children Are Reading. So just as a baseline, I'm hoping you can read for us a poem from the collection and give an idea of your work to folks. And so what would you like to read for us?
I'm going to start by reading a poem called Places Called Bogs. And this is early in the collection, and it gives a sense of the kind of topography that I grew up in outside of New Paltz, New York, and how that place kind of took over my imagination. Places called bogs. With all the naming taking up the space on local maps, the gaps and the passes, the swells and paths, you'd think that we'd have named the bogs as well, that someone would have staked a claim in honor of a family head or kook. But I suppose a bog's no knoll, no hollow, no terra firma into which a stake will stick. Nor is it truly water, which seems to sing its name aloud. There's something furtive in a bog, some sense we shouldn't name or call attention to. And so we call each bog the bog, and let that stand. The mist was rising off the bog, we say. The bog is where they found that boy, or if you find you've reached the bog, you've gone too far, turn back.
Mm. So very much you seem to tackle and explore the idea of imagination and a child's imagination.
Yeah, and I think a child's imagination is nonstop compared to ours. And so right. I try to re-inhabit what it's like to constantly be transforming and interpreting in the way that a child does.
And the intersection of curiosity and imagination.
Yeah, and how curiosity can lead to moments of the sublime, but it also has its hazards, both physical hazards in the way that it might, there are a lot of kids wandering off.
Right. Well, it brings
poems.
You to the bog where they found a body, for
exactly,
God's sakes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I grew up in a in an area where I was able just to wander, which had great advantages for the imagination, but also in retrospect may have had certain hazards.
Do you feel that your children have a place to wander?
We live in a much more suburban setting than I grew up in, and so I don't know that there's the same. They can certainly walk to a friend's house or to school, but I wouldn't call it wandering in the same way. Not with the same landscape of fields and streams and woods that I grew up in.
So, to use your word, landscape, the imaginative landscape is not then curtailed. It's just different.
I think so. Especially with my younger son, he has an unbridled imagination. But I don't think it has to do with topography in the same way that mine did growing up.
I want to get back to the first question I asked you about this, a collection I know you wrote about baseball earlier. This has to do with children and children's literature. Once you have that theme, when you have that idea of this is sort of what I would like to write about, does that comes over time? Or do you find yourself with a body of work and say, oh, this fits into this theme?
Well, Heart of the Order, the baseball anthology, is an anthology of other people's poems that I edited.
Okay.
So that came out of a personal interest and also a class that I teach called Literature and Baseball. I was always pulling together poems to teach in that class, so I figured why not publish an anthology?
I'm going to take a shot here, a popular course, I would guess.
Yes.
Okay.
It is a way to trick non-English majors into reading great works of literature.
Great. Okay. So then this collection then, did you have the work, or did you say, oh, no, I want to explore this for a little while?
There's a kind of critical mass where you realize that you keep coming back to the same things. And then eventually, at least in my case, I begin to write poems into what's already there. Mm-hmm. So there are a number of poems, as you mentioned, that pick up different works of children's literature. I might not have started thinking I was going to accumulate so many of those, but once I had a couple, I started to kind of hunt around for other works that I might write about.
I know you have another poem to read for us. What would you like to share with us?
I'm going to read one of those poems that engages children's literature. This is one of two poems in the book that writes about Alice Liddell, who was Lewis Carroll's influence for Alice in Wonderland, his inspiration for Alice in Wonderland. Lewis Carroll also took lots of photos of Alice, the ones when she's a young girl. She's obviously very into the photography. She's dressed as a pirate or as a street urchin. But this is about the last picture he took of her when she was 17. And she seems in the photo to be, for lack of a better term, over it. So this is called On Lewis Carroll's Final Photograph of Alice Liddell, 1870. By now, having been made larger than life, her skin just will not sit right anymore. It's not that it has stretched out as she's grown and shrunk, elastic gone, thin as playing cards, but she's fallen to a shape inside it, like shifting in a costume that fits askew, eyes slipping over her eyes, its edges jabbing her between the ribs. She's forced to turn away, in insolence, it seems, slumping from his lens, his bulbous pen, the things that turned her first from girl to girl. She's woman now. No lens hides that. Though what is insolence but wordlessness, defense against the versions of ourselves we do not author, sown or realized for us in our muted presence, made in our absence of a disappearance. This is not Alice posed in beggar rags or picnic finery who peers out from a separate skin. From her retreat within, who knows really where she's wandered?
Mm. Gabriel Fried reading from The Children Are Reading. It is a poetry collection published by Four Way Books. I asked you what you'd like to read, and you said, is there anything in particular? And one of the poems that I was thinking of was the of Alice Meets Peter, which is again, as you said, this bringing together both Alice and Peter from Peter Pan. What does it allow you to explore, even when you're talking about the photographs? It seems like there's a certain amount of investigation and research and study that goes into that as well.
Yeah, I think, though, that they start with an emotional connection. And in this case, the idea that children are so much what adults make of them and want them to be. And there's a certain amount of performing that children do for adults, but you reach a certain point where you may want to reclaim yourself as a child, where you feel trapped by the persona that adults have created for you.
As you're reading through the collection, there's a poem comes up on you, and it's called "The Joy of Sex." And I thought it was really interesting because it's sort of that, at least for me, my reading of it was this forbidden object in the house, right?
Right, right, and one that wasn't really spoken of. It was actually, in my experience, in my grandparents' house, but I think a lot
that's
of...
even creepier.
Right, right. I think, you know, it was a book that in a certain generation a lot of people had on their,
sure,
their shelves, and the moment that I'm writing about there is being too small to actually,
right,
reach up and get the book.
But being intrigued by it.
And you get to use fun puns in a poem like that, talking about the shag rug, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. I find myself asking this a lot of poets, certainly professors who teach this as well, and you work in bringing together, as you said, you work on anthologies and are a poetry editor. How would you characterize our current state of poetry in this country?
Poetry is very robust. You know, I think there's always this contrast because so many people write poems and so many people read individual poems and look to them for solace or connection.
Correct.
And at the same time, people are always saying, is poetry dead? You know, or who reads poetry? I think one of the reasons for that is because book publishing is measured in book sales, and the book is not the only vehicle for poetry. It's great when people buy and read full-length collections. I'm trying to get people to buy one right now.
Right.
But you also can take poems one by one, and I think on that level, poetry is incredibly vibrant and important, especially in moments of upheaval, unrest, political dissent. I think poems really come to the forefront.
And you're speaking about it from an audience perspective, but from a writer's perspective, it's also very important as well as a vehicle to discuss what you just mentioned.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, you can tell poetry still has a very a place of very high regard. I think in the world of arts in general. All sorts of artists and authors refer to poems, love poems, talk about how influential poems are on their own work. And so I think even though poems are small and not lucrative, I think they still hold a very special place in the culture.
The name of the collection is The Children Are Reading. It is published by Four Way Books. Gabriel Fried is the author. Gabriel, what a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing, and best of luck with the collection. Thanks for stopping in. It's really a delight to meet you and a delight to have you on the program.
It's so great to be here.
Thank you very much. Again, Gabriel Fried's new collection, The Children Are Reading. It's published by Four Way Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.